Good morning. Good morning. I think I'm on. Am I on, Ken? Yes, I think I'm on. Thank you. Thank you. Well, praise God. It's good to be here. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see you all. Actually, I say that a little bit. I forgot to put my contacts in this morning. So I can see that there are people out there, but I can't see the expressions on your face, which might be a good thing sometimes, right? You know, I'll get into the message here in a moment. I just wanted to mention, I put some pictures on. Some of you knew that CJ and I did a triathlon yesterday. What was that? I'm looking at Ken. He didn't touch anything. He was just there, didn't have his hands. I don't know what that was, but it's gone. I think the sound system always keeps you guessing. So CJ and I did a triathlon yesterday. And the fun thing is I put some pictures on Facebook. The thing about the pictures is you can't tell if it was a Ironman, because some people think that, you know, they'll say, oh man, you know, because you see the things on television, you see the people in Hawaii at Kona and all that stuff. It's called a sprint triathlon, which is half the distance of an Olympic triathlon. But so anyways, you know, it's kind of like the difference between a firecracker and an atomic bomb. They're both explosives, you know, but the Iron Man is an atomic bomb, so to speak. Maybe that's a little exaggeration, and this is a little bit more of a firecracker. But it's a short triathlon, and but it's still a challenge. It's still a physical challenge and a mental challenge. I always say I'm down there on the shore of Lake Ontario yesterday, waiting for our wave, you know, the old guys. I'm in the old guys group, you know, for the horn to go and for us. And I was saying, this always seemed like a better idea 6 months ago when I signed up for it than yesterday. But, you know, get out there, get doing it. I feel pretty good in the swim. I feel like I'm, you know, not like I'm super fast or whatever, but I'm efficient at that and okay on the bike. It's just running has gotten to a point where it's a real struggle for me. But anyways, got to the finish line. CJ did great. I was so proud of him. And that was fun training together. And that was kind of one of the things that brought me out of retirement, so to speak. But it was fun, and thanks for those that were thinking of us and even maybe said a prayer for us. But so here we are, and we're still alive and no worse for the wear, as they say. So the title of the message this morning is Overcoming Adversity. Overcoming Adversity. And, you know, one thing for sure in life is that life is going to throw us some things. Trouble, problems, struggles, adversity, you name it. Matter of fact, Jesus made a promise, right? We talk about promises in the Bible. There's all kinds of wonderful promises in the Bible. Well, here's one of them. These things, John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, in the world you will have tribulation. That's the promise. That's one of the promises. That's the first of two. There's two there. In the world, you will have tribulation. In the world, you will have tribulation. You know, a lot of times when people think of promises, they're not thinking about a promise like that, right? And that's kind of like the other scripture. I don't know exactly. I don't know off the top of my head where it is, where it's found. I can't think of the reference. But it says, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's another promise. But anyways, let's focus on this one. In the world you will have tribulation. But the second promise is this. Be of good cheer, Jesus said. I have overcome the world. What's the significance of that? Because Jesus has overcome the world. And we are, if we are Christians, we are in Him. We can overcome, we will overcome as well. We all face adversity, and how you handle those things is going to determine, in many ways, the trajectory of your life and how your life goes. Sometimes in jail, so if you don't know me, you might think that's a strange statement, but I'm the jail chaplain. And sometimes at the jail, which I haven't been, not other than a short stint last fall for a few weeks, I haven't been in the jail for over a year because of COVID, and it doesn't look like that's changing anytime soon. But I share this not because it's unique to the jail, but I've noticed it maybe in a little more of a concentrated form. When I'll be in there, you know, in the past, when I've been there and I've been, you know, talking to the guys or the gals that are in jail, I never ask them why they're there. That's not my thing to know or to look into or anything. But sometimes in conversation, that just comes out. You know, they'll talk. They'll be, you know, free about, you know, sharing what's going on in their lives and maybe even why they're there. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, as conversation goes along, and this happens again, it happens outside the jail too, but I've just seen it a little more concentrated there, and maybe that's for reasons that might seem somewhat obvious. But they'll say, you know, I was doing good, and then, you know, you name it. Like my grandfather died or something, I don't know, just trying to think. You know, and it just kind of set me back, and I started using drugs again, and you know, one thing led to another, and here I am. And that's a tragedy, you know, to lose a love. I mean, obviously, I don't see Tanya now, but, you know, I mean, it doesn't get any bigger than that, right? Losing a child. That's the one that's, at the top of the list. So that is maybe a little bit different, but some of the things, it's a lot different, but some of the things I hear, you know, this happened or that happened, or people talk about, you know, some unfortunate thing that happened in their life, and all of a sudden, you know, it just kind of put me in a tailspin, and the next thing you know, I was, you know, back to my old ways, and I kind of, you know, went off the rails, and here I am. We cannot allow external things to control our lives. Amen? We cannot allow external things to control our lives, and we cannot use them as an excuse to make bad choices. We cannot allow adversity in life to be an excuse to make bad choices. We will all face it. In the world, you will have tribulation. We are going to go through tough times. And Jesus had this to say, well, this is actually from the Old Testament, from Proverbs, but the Word of God says, if you faint in the day of adversity, that's still there, your strength is small. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You know, it's kind of like God saying to us, this is part of life in this fallen world. This is what happens. I'm not saying we don't stand against it. I'm not saying we don't fight against those things or believe or pray or anything like that. But in the world, you will have tribulation. So this morning, I just want to take a few minutes. And because of this, I just think is true. I just think it's a part of life. I just think it is something that we all face. I wanted to talk a little bit about how, you know, just things that have kind of stuck with me over the years, you know, knowing that this is the way life goes and knowing that things happen like this. So I'm going to list off a few things, and I just encourage, if you're a note taker, I hope you'll see fit to write them down. So I'll just run through these things somewhat quickly here. This is number one, and I'll probably spend a little more time on this than some of the other ones. We have to come to terms with the fact that life brings good and bad simultaneously. Can I get an amen to that? That is the way that life is. Now, obviously, sometimes, you know, the bad, and again, I think of, you know, Tanya, what she just went through is off the scale, right? Off the charts. And I know those are very unique circumstances. But just day-to-day life, just what we go through, maybe nothing, of course, that extreme, but just the kinds of things that we go through day to day, I have learned, I think, this has been my experience, and this is what I believe in my heart, that life is like the two tracks of a railroad. You know, they're running parallel to one another, and they're going down the road, they're going down the track, and you know, it's like there's good things that are happening and there's things that are not so good that are happening, and they often are happening at the same time. And the one reference there, again, I had a number of scriptures, and so I didn't put them all. I just put the references up there so that you could jot them down if you were so inclined. And this first one in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, and I just want to read it from the Message. And I know that's just a paraphrase, and I understand that, but I just love, is it Eugene Peterson? I think that's the name. The gentleman that did that many years ago. He says this. He says, "All praise to the God and Father of our Master, Jesus the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. We have plenty of hard times that come from following the Lord, but no more so than the good times of his healing comfort. We get a full measure of that too." And notice what he says at the end. "When we see that you're just as willing to endure the hard times as to enjoy the good times, we know you're going to make it. There's no doubt about it." I love that. Amen? We get both. We get a combination of both in life. We get a full measure of the good, and we also sometimes get a bigger measure than we would wish of the not so good, or as I choose to call it, the things working together for good, right? We live in a fallen world, and this is life in a fallen world. You know how people say, I bet you we've all said it. We've said, you know, there's always somebody who's got it worse off than me. Right? Have you ever said that? I always thought that was one of the weirdest things to say to take comfort. Right? I don't know. It just always bugged me. You know, maybe I've said it in the past, but I never say that anymore. Well, there's always somebody that's got it worse off than me. You know, that's a weird way to comfort yourself. And I said this before. I said, there's at least one person in the world that can't say that, right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, we look over, oh, he's got it worse than I do. Oh, she's got it worse. You know, there's that guy at the end of the line. nobody to look behind and say, he's got it worse off than I do. The Bible actually has a person who fits that description, right? Who is he? Job, right? He's the guy that fits the description, at least in the way I look at it, where he couldn't look and say, somebody else has it worse off than me. I mean, Job went through the ringer. And in Job, those verses up there, Job 2 verses 9 and 10, that's the part of the story when Job's wife came to him. You know what she said to him? "Curse God and die." You know? How would you like to have a spouse like that? She said to him, I mean, it's one thing, you know, Job had all of his, I almost said accusers, that's probably, but his comforters, as they're known, they didn't do a very good job. There was the three, and I can't remember all their names. I was Zophar, Bildad, and I can't remember the other guy. But, and then later on, a fourth one came along, and they did a horrible job at trying to bring comfort to Job. But they're just outside people, you know, maybe friends or whatever of Job's. But this is his wife. And she said, "Do you still hold fast in verse 9 to your integrity? Curse God and die." You know, and I love Job's answer in verse 10. But he said to her, you think, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept from God, shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity?" You know? He's like, hey, Job's kind of saying the same thing. Good things happen, and I mean, you know, for Job, the worst of the worst happened to him. And he said, can we accept the good and not accept the adversity? And again, not saying that we don't pray against those things and take a stand and all. You know how we are, that one of our most common greetings is, how you doing? Right? How you doing? And our obligatory answer is good, right? We always usually say that, maybe not all the time. And I do it. We all do it, right? We understand what it is. We understand the nature. It's just more of a hi, you know, sort of thing. We're just, you know, greeting someone. You know, and I have a few different answers for that question. Depending on, you know, sometimes I'll just say good. If, you know, you just got to kind of read the room, as they say, right? But sometimes I say, and you've probably heard me say this, if the situation's right, I'll say, you know, it's complicated, right? How you doing? You know, it's complicated. And it's complicated because of that truth right there, because life brings good and bad simultaneously. And other times, and you've probably heard me say, because I probably say this more often, sometimes when people say, how you doing? I say, it depends on where I look, right? Because if I look over here, things are going okay. If I look over here, they're going to blow to pieces any second, right? And that's just kind of the way that life is. Pastor Seth, my friend from Ghana, I remember the first time I was over there, and I don't know, maybe it was some of the other Americans that were with me at that time. There's a couple other guys. I don't know if this is so much what Ghanaians do. They probably don't. Maybe they do. I don't know, you know. Hey, how you doing? Or whatever. Maybe that's more of a thing that we do. But I heard when Seth was asked that question, whether it was from one of us or one of his Ghanaian friends or whatever, say, how you doing, Pastor Seth? He would say, by grace, I am fine. And I would say, that's a little encoded message there, you know? He said, well, by grace, I am fine. And that means, you know, there's some things going on. Life has its challenges, but by the grace of God, I'm fine. And I like that. That's a really good answer. And lastly, and I haven't mentioned, I got thinking about this recently, and I've shared this, you know, years ago, I was at a, pastor's meeting in Buffalo. And we all had gathered at, I think it was at Lovejoy Church with Pastor Ron Bergio. And we were there at the meeting, and one of the pastors came in a little late. It had just started, and he walked in a little late, and everybody knew him. And Ron Bergio said, hey, Fred, how you doing? And Fred's answer, where's Kenny? Is Kenny here? Oh, there! Oh, you're back on the board. I forgot. Usually you're sitting up here. That's why I get confused. I get confused easy sometimes. But Pastor Fred said, life's crazy. It's insane. It could go off the rails any second. And it's going to be like that until the first shovel full of dirt hits me in the face, is what he said. And everybody laughed because they knew, and it was just the way he, just his personality. He's a very likable guy, had a great personality. He said, it's crazy. Life's insane. And it's going to be like that until the first shovel full of dirt hits me in the face. It's life, right? It's life. Just knowing that, I think sometimes helps us to take adversity a little bit more in stride. Chuck Swindoll said this. It's one of my favorite quotes from Chuck Swindoll. He said, the longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, an individual, or a home. This is the important part. The remarkable thing is that we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on that one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me, and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitude. Amen? So life brings good and bad. Spent a lot of time on that one, but we'll go through these rather quickly. Don't compromise. When you're going through a hard time, don't compromise. I mean, there are things that you can compromise on, but I'm talking about your convictions. The things that are part of your moral compass that dictate to you, and of course I would assume and hope that that is from the scriptures and from the Spirit of God, the things that are right and wrong, that are clear in your mind, the black and white issues of life, do not compromise them to find an easy way out of a problem. And that is something I think that people struggle with from time to time. If you compromise on something and you do something unethical or illegal or immoral or whatever, you know, trust me, you understand. Nothing good is ever going to come out of that. And the scripture that I put up there is one of my favorites, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We've got to be steadfast, immovable, and we cannot compromise on the things that we know, the foundation on which we stand. And sometimes when the pressure's on, and sometimes when the adversity and the struggles and the problems come, people look for an easy exit. You know, they look for an easy way out, and nothing good will ever come out of that. You've got a moral compass that will guide you, your principles, your convictions, your values, and even sometimes it will make it harder in the short term. Amen? Amen. And next, try to take problems one at a time. Now, I know they don't come one at a time, unfortunately, but you've got to deal with them one at a time. Just a very practical point. I don't have a verse. There is one in Proverbs, and I didn't look it up. I can't remember where it is. I can't remember how it's worded, so I'm not going to mention it. But just simply this, try to take problems one at a time. One of the things that can really put you in a tailspin is when just life just seems to pile on, right? It's not just one thing here or one thing there. It's just like so many things. And we have to stop and we have to take a breath and we have to say, what can I and what should I tackle now? Right? Because I can't fix it all. I know that most of the time problems come in bunches. You know, they don't come in nice, neat little packages today and a different one tomorrow. You know, sometimes they do kind of pile on. And you know where I struggle with that probably the most? In the middle of the night. I don't know about you. I wake up. It's hard for me to sleep from whatever time I go to bed till time to get up. So sometimes I'm up in the middle of the night or at least awake for a bit. And that's the point in time where my mind starts to race, right? Anybody else have that you go through in your life? And, just laying there and I'm thinking and it's just like a movie reel going at super fast speed. You know, it's like one thing after another. And that is a recipe for anxiety. So, you know, sometimes you just got to take a step back and take a breath and say, okay, I cannot deal with all these. I can't fix all these. You know, Lord, where do you want my attention? Where do you want my energy? Where's my focus? Where should I be praying? What should I be doing? The devil knows your weaknesses, and he will try to pile things on to try to overwhelm you and get you to give up. Amen? So we've got to stand against that. Next, you got to keep the long-range perspective. You got to look over the long haul and keep the long-range outlook. Those two verses, I'm sure some of you know those, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, to give you hope and a future. You know, you just have to keep that in mind. You know, you're going through a hard time right now, but God has a hope and he has a future for you and for me and for every single one of us. And of course, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to their purpose. And as I say again and again, and I think I just said it a couple minutes ago, not everything is good, but in Christ, everything can work together for good. He can use it in some way, shape, or form. So don't lose sight of the big picture. I know it's difficult at the moment. In the moment, I'm there. I struggle with that sometimes. You know, life's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a full-length movie. It's not just a little snapshot. You know, it's a full-length movie. And, you know, it's a long haul for us as we walk through life. And there are going to be good things that happen. There's going to be difficult things that happen. And that just, there's all kinds of twists and turns along the way in our lives. And for the most part, problems don't last forever. I know some are deeper and longer lasting, but, you know, how many, you ever been in the middle of something, you're going through something difficult, and, you get through it, you know, you get on the other side of it, you had a struggle, you were going through it, and you say, oh, you know, it wasn't quite all that I thought it was when I went through it. Again, understanding, and I hate to keep mentioning Tanya, but I understand, you know, there are those exceptions of things that are, you know, life-altering, life-changing, devastating things. But Kurt Folman's dad, what was that quote your dad used to have? Nothing is ever as good as or bad as it seems going into it, you know, I think, or something, you know. Like, you ever get something, say, oh man, I'm so excited, I'm so blessed, God did this, God, you know, God gave us this or that. And, you know, you get into it and you feel, it's a little more complicated, you know, than it looked. And on the other side, you know, you look at something, you're facing a problem, you know, struggle at work, or this is going on, or that's going on, and it's like, oh, well, okay, you get in it, you walk through it, and, you come out on the other side. Keep your long-range outlook. And don't isolate yourself. I feel funny saying this, but this is worth writing down. This is a quotable quote. You need others the most when you want them the least. Did you hear me? You need others the most when you want them the least. You know, the verses I put up there, Proverbs 18:1 says a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment, is what that scripture says. You know, I've heard every excuse and reason why people are not in church or why they stop going to church. But I think we need to look at Proverbs 18:1. A person who isolates themselves from others, especially others in the body of Christ, often it's because, right, they don't want to hear, maybe, you know, I know there's complicated things in life, but I'm a simple guy, you know, I go back to, okay, a person who isolates himself seeks their own desire, and I just think about that a lot. Because when you're around other people, you know, iron sharpens iron, right? That's another verse in Proverbs. There are things that we go through, and we need other people, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, right? When I say we need other people, we need the right people. You know, a lot of times, again, I talk to folks and they're struggling with this or that. And again, I've used drugs as an example, you know. And it's like, you got to be careful who you spend time with, obviously. And that's what that verse is in 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, be not deceived. Bad company corrupts good habits, right? So it's not just about being around people. I just did a kind of a Zoom call or Skype call or whatever with an inmate in the jail, and he had gone through something. It was just somebody in his family had gone through something very, very difficult. And I won't go into the details. And he was pretty broken up about it, and he was in jail, so he couldn't be there for this family member and, you know, and all that. And I said to him, does this person have good people around them? And he said, no, the people that they have around them are not the people that are going to help, right? They're not the people that are going to make a difference, a positive difference in their life. So it's not just being around people, it's being around the right people. And one of the things that we tend to do, I can be as guilty, I mean, I don't give into it, But I know those feelings is we want to withdraw. We want to isolate ourselves when we're facing problems. And as I said, in those times, those are the times we need people around us more than ever. So you got to go against your tendency. You got to be, you know, sometimes you just got to go buck your feelings, you know, go against that and just go and do what you know is right. I was talking to a guy once who, you know, had kind of drifted away from church. And I said, brother, you need to be in church. And he said, why? And I thought, you know, there's 100 ways I could answer that question. And as I said it, what came out of my mouth was kind of a strange answer. But I think it was a good answer. Maybe not the best answer, and it's not the only answer. Certainly not the only answer. But I said to him, I said, because the devil doesn't want you there. And he thought, and maybe that was just the right word for that moment. Because he said, you know, I never thought about it like that. You know, because you say to people, come on, you know, you need to be in church. It's important for you to be. Whatever. He said, why? Well, one reason is I can guarantee the devil doesn't want you there. You know, so I don't want to give in to him. I don't want to do the thing that he wants me to do. So isolation is a key strategy of the enemy. When you get a sheep, and I say this all the time, when you get a sheep separated from the flock and from the shepherd, it's a dangerous place. And nothing good will ever come out of that. Because the wolf can get in between the flock and the sheep. And then it's all over but the wolf flying, right? One of the significant things in my life, and I mean from the bottom of my heart, is the people that God has put around me. Good people. On a family level, on a church level, relationships, it means everything to me. It is so important. So do not isolate yourself. A couple more, and I'll be done. I don't have a scripture for this. I think there are ones I could have found, but I just didn't put one. And I wrote it when I wrote my book a few years ago. I actually have a chapter about this. You know, dealing with adversity. One of the things that I've come to understand is sometimes you got to live in a little pain. Sometimes. Now, again, I'm not talking over the top, crazy, you know, off the charts sort of stuff, but we have such an aversion to pain. I mean, we all do, right? Nobody likes pain, in that sense, but sometimes, you know, we've just got to be willing to deal a little bit with some of the things. And I'm talking primarily about emotional pain and such like that. I'm not saying, you know, oh, it's all good and healthy, but I'm just saying, you know, it's just a reality sometimes that you're going to deal with some of these things. And you know, probably every day of our lives to some degree. You know, there's things in our lives that are not the way we want them to be. There are different hurts. There's different struggles. There's different relationships, things going on. And that's just kind of the way. And so we've got to be willing sometimes to accept that and understand that's a part of life. Just a couple more. And these might seem like they're a little bit all over the map in one sense. But, you know, they're just things that have helped me in my life walk through whatever adversity. You may think I live a charmed life. I may think you, whatever, vice versa. You know, but we all got our issues. We all have our things that we go through. And these are things that have helped me. Learn to forgive. Because here's the thing. Adversity often comes in the form of human beings. Right? This is the issue. Adversity comes in the form of people. It's not just things that happen out there, right? Let's personalize this. Let's think about this. It usually, not even sometimes, but usually comes in the form of people in some way, shape, or form. So, you know, if somebody is a cause for pain or adversity or struggle in your life, you know, it's very easy to start to hold on to some bitterness or anger or unforgiveness in that situation. And that verse I put up there is Paul talking about forgiveness. Now he says this, 2 Corinthians 2:10-11. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Verse 11 is what I really want you to hear. Lest Satan should take advantage of us. for we are not ignorant of his devices. The enemy is one of his, you know, go-to strategies is to cause us to hold unforgiveness in our hearts. You've probably heard me say this. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It's going to kill you. So you've got to learn to forgive folks. This goes without saying. Just learn from your experiences and realize, you know, you're going to be a better and stronger person as you triumph over and through these tough times. And again, character is not developed on the sunny days. Character is not developed on the sunny days when everything is going well, when it's all sunshine and roses. And I just close with this last one. It's a walk of faith, right? We got to know that God has our back. We believe in him. That verse from Job says, "For he knows the way I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Amen? Amen? The other one says, "There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother." Proverbs 18:24 and Hebrews 13:5 says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? So how you handle adversity may be one of the single greatest factors to determining your character and your outcome and how your life turns out. Because in the world, you will have tribulation. I want you to stand, and I want to close here in a moment. Who are you when the pressure is on? You know, Tim said it earlier. Tim Archer said it earlier. Who we are will come out. Who we are will come out. You know, it may not happen on a Sunday morning. Like you said, you know, we can maybe for an hour and a half, you know, keep it under the lid or whatever. But ultimately, who we are will come out. And it's not just, you know, people say, "Who are you when no one's looking?" Well, that's a good test of our character. But I think it just as good, if not better, is who are you when the pressure is on? And I just want to read these verses. I don't have the reference up here, but it's a familiar verse before we close. Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31, and I'll just read those before we pray. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even youths will faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Amen? You know, that's a whole message in and of itself. So as we bow before the Lord in prayer, is there something this morning, you know, that just resonated in your heart, a situation or something or a person, like I said, you know, just that it's just been a source of adversity. It's been a source of difficulty for you. And I just want you to bring it before Jesus. I want you to lay it at the altar and just put your trust in him in a fresh new way and just come before him and lay it down. If there's unforgiveness, oh my goodness, you know, it's, I get it. I think we all get it. We all understand sometimes how we like to beat people up in our heads, right? You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? We're upset. We're angry. So we kind of, you know, beat them up in our heads, so to speak. And we can't do it. We've got to release them. We've got to let them go. Doesn't mean we're always going to, you know, go out to coffee with them on Wednesday or something like that. You know, there's some of the wounds go deep. I understand, but we've got to release them. We cannot hold unforgiveness. We cannot hold bitterness. We're just tying a weight around our ankles and keeping us, and it keeps us from who God wants us to be and the call that he has on our lives and the things that he has for our lives. So I thank you that we are more than conquerors. I thank you that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. I thank you that we are victorious. victorious in Jesus Christ. That is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. That is who we are. That is the kind of people that we are. We go through the valley of the shadow of death sometimes, but we will fear no evil, for you are with us, Lord God. And I thank you for your faithfulness. And for anyone here today, God, who's just facing a mountain in their life, they're facing obstacles and adversities in their life, I pray that you would give them strength. As that verse says, you give strength to the powerless, Lord God. You give power to the weak. And you increase our strength, Lord God. So we need you. It's not our own strength, Lord. We need the power of your Holy Spirit at work in us, Father, each and every day of our lives. So we praise you, we thank you for it, and I just pray that you would help us as we go forward in our lives. We know life brings good and it brings tough things at the same time, God, but we are victorious through Jesus Christ. And I want to live that out. I want this congregation, my brothers and sisters, to live this out as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are dismissed. You are commissioned to go and live for Jesus, make a difference for him this week for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. You're dismissed.